going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Do the Atlanta Falcons potentially have a defensive rookie of the year?
I think they might.
May not be Jalen Walker. It might actually be someone you're not expecting. James Pierce is a dude. And we just talked to Joe Patrick. He says maybe James Pierce could be that guy. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in about 20 minutes. But big 9 o'clock hour. We're talking a lot of Atlanta Falcons. We're going to hear from both of our first-round picks. They caught up with Duke Simbel on Friday. But in terms of what my expectations are for this 2025 season, I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited. And I distinctly remember sitting there very frustrated with what this team did down the stretch, with the way that Kirk Cousins played, with the way that they sort of just left meat on the bone, if you will. And I'm not going to say that the Falcons deserve to have a better record. You are what your record says you are. That's just the way the NFL works. You won some games where you kind of got the benefit of the bounce, a la the game against the Bucks, the game against the Eagles, where if Saquon Barkley just catches the football, you lose that game. But you are what your record says you are. You got the benefit of some plays, and you kind of got screwed in others. But as far as what this team can be in 2025, I was telling myself at the end of last season that I wasn't going to get too hyped up. Maybe I just can't help it. Maybe I can't help myself. I love the Falcons. I love this city. It's my home. It's a beautiful place. And this team frustrates me to no end. But they're giving me reasons to be excited. They've addressed some of the issues that have been plaguing them for more than a decade. And the biggest reason is because they go out and get Jalen Walker in the first round. I think that's the slam dunk of the draft, period. And he caught up with Duke Simbel on Friday. And this is what that conversation sounded like.
It is Duke Simbel. It is Duke Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We told you he was coming. He's coming. And he's here.
He's on Lombardi time, Carl. He's early.
Hey, man. He played at Georgia. You know, he's got to be early for the meetings, bro.
Right, right.
Jalen Walker is here. First and foremost, man, congratulations, brother. Congrats. We are happy that you're here.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
As a Falcon,
yes, sir.
Last night it was funny because everybody's seen the call now when they called you and you were like, I'm at the crib.
Yeah.
In Salisbury. What was it like, man? I mean, honestly, just take us through that last night and getting that call. Did you have any idea it was going to be us?
Yeah, I was actually, watching the clock. When I seen the Falcons on the clock, I'm seeing it. And, for the earlier picks, they were like, oh, as soon as that pick happened, as soon as the next pick, the pick was in. And then I was looking and saw the clock winding down. It was 3 minutes left. I'm like, man, what's going on, man? And looked down again and my phone's ringing. And I'm like, man, there we go. Here we go. Let's go. So it was just a great opportunity.
Man, as we said, not to sound like little kids, man, we sound like fanboys already, Carl. We were so excited because, number one, we wanted the Bulldogs. We wanted somebody from Kirby's machine, what he's developed. Talk about what you learned at UGA.
Man, I learned a lot. Being there for those 3 years, you develop as a player and as a young man as well. And those guys and that program there, they're running it really well, and I appreciate all they did.
So one of the things I've talked about with you, specifically leading up to the draft, Jalen, is I said, man, his size, I don't know. And then everybody I'm talking to around the league and everybody that scouted you is like, it don't matter. And then you look, he's shaking his head. And then you turn on the tape,
right,
and you're taking on these big tackles. You're holding guys off. You're setting the edge. But is this something that you always seemingly hear, or is this something that you, you know, when we talk about, oh, he's not the prototypical this, that, or the other, right, but you're a playmaker.
Most definitely. And I hear it, but, you know, I really – it goes in and out the other year because I know the player and what I have in me, that dog. So it is what it is.
We know a lot of guys, and we always hear the phrase coach's son, you know, and your dad coached. I mean, it just seems like, I don't know, when I played Little League, my dad was really mean to me. He liked the other kids better. Was your dad, what is, how much of a factor was what your dad taught you coming on up?
Right. My dad was actually, he was a college coach, so I really didn't get into his realm. But him being there for me, he was actually a dad first before he was a coach. So I appreciate that and everything he did for me.
Yeah, it's a part of your story as we're talking with Jalen Walker. Last night, our first pick in the first round, 15th overall, guys, here at the Branch today. It's Dukes and Bell. As we talk about your relationship with Ra and certainly Terry Fontenot, Terry has said at your pro day, y'all spoke like, you know, you were sitting there for an hour or so.
Right.
What were the conversations? Was he just talking about life? Was he talking football with you?
Man, we were talking about life, catching up, football, everything. I mean, it was a great opportunity to just pick his brain because he's smart as it comes. Sitting there and getting to know him, and I met his son as well. You know, being there with him and talking with him right there in the indoor was great. You know, just getting able to pick his brain.
What was that combine experience like? Because we hear about the interviews and you feel like a piece of meat in there. How strange was that?
It wasn't as strange as people made it seem. It was just about meetings and football. I enjoyed it because
okay,
you're sitting there talking about football all day, and it was easy for me.
You like breaking down film?
Yeah. It was really good, you know, watching my plays and watching what happened in the season. I could recall what was going on. It was great.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about that Texas game, but I guess we have to.
You dominated
that offensive line, man. Y'all did a hell of a job
in
Austin, and obviously in the SEC championship game. And then, you know, last night I'm watching the draft, and I see the New Orleans Saints take Calvin Banks. Stop it. And I'm like, oh, Banks is going to the Saints.
Well, this is very fortuitous.
Yes, and then I see, oh, we get Jalen Walker, and Jalen had his day against Banks. Man, talk about those games, because those were big games for you guys this year. But, you know, everybody going into those games are saying, oh, their offensive line, and I was laughing after the game because Kirby's like, what? You guys got after it.
Right. Yeah, we just had a great game plan for the week, and, you know, we executed well. We knew where Quinn wanted to escape. We knew what the pros were to certain tackles and guards. We knew the cons to those tackles and those guards, and we just used it to our advantage.
That game was something. We could talk about that game because it was like, man, you guys get them off the field, and you're back on the field. So you had to do it. Obviously, a little bit different when you had them at your house. By the way, we get a guy going into that Falcons locker room who knows his way around Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
It's like a home away from home for you.
We call it our home, our home stadium. Being there at Georgia, it's great being in the Benz. It's a different environment. It's just a different feeling that I get going into the game.
Did Arthur send Falcon 1 to pick you up? Did you get the plane?
I did get the jet.
My man.
They sent the jet.
Yeah, because we heard you like, send it.
Send it. Hey, I told him to send it, and they sent it. Man, it was crazy. Yeah, he's got it going on with that jet.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's a little 17-seater.
Shrimp cocktail?
Nah, a little good food, snacks, anything you need it. So it was pretty good.
Jalen Walker joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, we're chopping it up with our first round pick. Look, you maybe feel it. I hope you do. But the excitement is real, bro, about you guys getting picked, talking about James as well, and then, you know, what we feel like our team has lacked. You feel any pressure? And I say this because you played at Georgia, but coming here and saying, hey, I'm not going to say you're a savior, but people feel like, oh, you're going to help us go to the next level.
Right.
Do you feel that?
I feel no pressure. I just feel like it's another day and it's another opportunity for me to come in and, you know, and keep playing football and support the locker room and support the program.
We always hear guys when they ask the question, hey, would you like to be a Falcon? Or I'm just happy to be in the league. Was the Falcons on a short list because of the proximity playing at Athens?
Man, I had no choice of team. It didn't matter. It was just the opportunity.
Right.
If anybody had called that phone, I would have picked up and I would have been excited for anybody.
We've talked about Coach Raheem Morris and having a tremendous rep around the league. What do you know about him and what do you think so far?
I love that guy. Right. I love that guy. The meetings that we had prior, it was great. His energy that he brings, his vision that he brings, his work ethic that he wants to bring, and all his morals that he wants to do for the program is great. And, of course, my relationship with him is great, and we got to celebrate that today with him, and I'm glad I'm here.
We're glad you're here. Former teammates, current teammates were all commenting on social media.
Right.
Like, dude, really? Jalen dropped a fit. Like, were you surprised at how this thing played out last night? As you watched, did you feel like you feel slighted at all that you didn't go earlier? Like, how does that go for you?
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, it's a great opportunity for me to be here. But, you know, there's no discredit for all the people that got picked in front of me, because those are tremendous athletes as well, and I played against them, and I played we'll play against them in the future as well, you know. And much power to all those teams that picked their players and their program decided to go another way, but I'm glad we made the right decision here in Atlanta to bring me in.
Hey guys, Jalen Walker's with us live inside the Ticketmaster Studios, Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to James Pierce Jr. coming up later this hour. Speaking of big edge rushers, you talked to Mikal Williams?
I did. Yeah, I just talked to him maybe about 5 minutes ago. I sent him a text. He's in San Francisco right now.
Wow. How, and same thing, just juiced.
Right? Man, juiced, man. He's excited. He was telling me about all about it last night.
We talk about, you know, your journey. We talk your dad being a coach, and everyone just kind of takes for granted. Everybody who's listening right now, their dream would be where you were last night, getting that phone call. Talk about the journey, the hard work, all the things you did to get there.
Long time coming. Full of hard work. Me and my dad talk about it all the time. You got to work. Somebody got to work. You got to work hard doing it. You know, being at Georgia, my time there, you have to work hard to succeed in life.
Is that why you chose Georgia? Because you knew what was coming with Kirby?
Chose hard. Coach Smart says choose hard. If you want to come to University of Georgia, you choose hard. And once you do it, you're going to be successful, because you see the program and you see the history that they have with draft picks and just players in general.
Yeah. And it's funny because – you know, people will say, you guys get to the pros and y'all don't know about walkthroughs. Because everything's full speed.
Right.
Walkthrough, what is that?
Yeah, I've heard those stories. The guys like, hey, man, like, relax. Relax. I'm like, hey, you're not at Georgia anymore. But, I mean, I enjoy it. It's just what I'm so used to.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
It's just in me. And that's going to be – that's anybody else who's at Georgia as well.
Yeah, the practices, you know, sometimes we're harder than the games, right? I mean,
100% time.
Yeah,
most definitely. We practice hard just so when we get to that game, it's not what you think it is. It's going to be a lot easier and it's going to be a lot smoother than you think.
Let me ask you this real quick, because I know you have a relationship with Micah Parsons. Both you guys, Adidas, right? Is that right? Big shout out to David Mulligata too, UT. Got to do it, bro. Got to do it. But that's the agent for these guys.
Man, I want to shout out Trey Smith. UGA.
No doubt. No doubt.
UGA.
No
there
doubt.
You go.
Good
yes,
call.
Sir.
But I want to ask you about that relationship with Micah, because what kind of effect has he had on you?
Right.
And if I said to you, Jalen, we're talking to you in 3 years, does your game resemble, you know, what Micah does on the field? Do you feel like that's the kind of player you can be? I'm not saying you're Micah, but
correct,
obviously the things that he does.
Most definitely. I feel like Micah has a motor like myself, and he's a baller. And he's a guy that I take pieces from his game to apply to mine, and I appreciate him just being that older brother and that mentor for me.
One of the things we talked about with Jalen is the leadership thing, and it's not like you come here to the Falcons, you come in here on the first day of OTAs. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jalen Walker.
Right.
Leadership is earned, but it's a role that you didn't embrace at Georgia.
Yes, it's all about respect and the opportunity, you know, getting into the locker room and getting to learn these guys and getting to know these guys. That's how it starts. It's about the relationship. And once you build that relationship, you build trust. And after you build the trust, you build that mutual respect of being that leader.
Jalen, we're excited, man.
Man, I appreciate it.
Rise up.
Rise up. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know how you can watch that or listen to that and say anything other than hell yeah. Hell yeah. Rise up. Jalen Walker's an Atlanta Falcon. First time since 1966 that the Falcons take a Georgia Bulldog. That's a moot point. Falcons got themselves a bona fide stud, a playmaker, somebody who is a difference maker. Finally, I can talk about one of those being in a Falcons uniform. Oh, it's a good feeling. I feel great. I'm really excited. And I'm also really excited because this guy is also about to be an Atlanta Falcon. We're here from the Falcons' second first-round pick when we get back. James Pierce, former Tennessee Volunteer, now a future Atlanta Falcon, right here on 92.9 The Game.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This Jax Ulbrich stuff is getting a little out of hand. Apparently there is another report coming out talking about how he potentially was calling Tyler Warren too. Prank calling him and pretending to be a general manager. And that's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, Jeff Ulbrich, of course, brand new defensive coordinator here for the Atlanta Falcons. Not his first time in Atlanta. But Falcons chose not to take any action on him as of right now. But Jax Ulbrich is messing around a little too much. It's already Bush League. Of course, everyone knows what he did to Shedeur Sanders at this point, and the Falcons came out and made a statement. He made a statement apologizing for his actions. And if now we're finding out that he's doing this to more players, I really don't know what kind of punishments could be coming down. I don't know if the Falcons would be implicated in this. I don't know if Jeff Ulbrich would be implicated in this. But this is childlike behavior from somebody who should know better. Should. Emphasis on should. 21 years old. You're a full-grown man. You're somebody who's making adult decisions. And you're being a child. It's Bush League. It's amateur hour. It's ridiculous types of behavior. This is the biggest day in somebody's life. Getting drafted into the NFL is something that people strive for 22 years, 23 years. Their whole life building up to that moment, waiting for that phone call. And then you're going around trying to be all cute and calling people. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, this is the kind of thing that follows you around. You want to have a career in football? Good luck. Good luck. It follows you around. This is something that's going to follow Jax Ulbrich for a very long time. It's a terrible way to conduct yourself. It's an absolute embarrassment. I don't understand how he's going to go home and hold his head up and have a conversation with his dad about football anymore. That's so disrespectful to these athletes, to these people who are going and looking to achieve a dream. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to the Falcons. I don't know if anything happens to the Falcons. They said that they're not going to punish Jeff Ulbrich. I don't know how you punish Jeff Ulbrich. I don't know what happened. No one knows what happened. And I'm sure Jeff Ulbrich's going to be asked about it whenever he addresses the media next. But, I mean, this is just embarrassing. It's a bad look for the Falcons. It's an ugly look for all parties involved. You know, and it's a bit infuriating, too. Just because, I mean, you're trying to overshadow and screw around with somebody on a day like this. And you can have whatever opinion you want of Shedeur Sanders. I know Dom and I were having this conversation a moment ago. We have differing views of Shedeur. We do. I don't think Shedeur is cut out to be a starter in the NFL. He disagrees. He says he could potentially be a guy who could play his way into a starting role. Great, fine. Not the point. We can have those kinds of discussions. That's perfectly fair. That's what this role is. That's what this job is. But what it's not is prank calling people. That kind of thing is Bush League. And I think everybody's on the same page. It's a bad look for everybody involved. And at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if he called several people, like just with Shedeur. It's embarrassing. It's kind of ugly. And I'm not a big fan of it at all. It's disgusting. Now doing it to multiple players. Now we get the ball rolling here. How many phone numbers did you get? How many people did you call? How many people did you screw with?
Yeah.
And at that point, if it's more than a couple,
yeah,
then you're looking at potential punishment from the NFL.
Absolutely, because that's one of the reports that we saw here a few hours ago. Jordan Schultz talked about how Tyler Warren was prank called as well, and it's believed that it came from the same area code or same number that pranked Shedeur Sanders, so that's why some people are making that connection. I agree, though, with everything that you said. I feel like it's just unnecessary. And I understand, like, again, he's still a kid. Like, 21 is still a kid. Your brain isn't even fully developed yet. Like, sure. I get that. You're still young, but you're old enough to know better.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's cruel and just mean-spirited to do that to someone on a special day that's supposed to be about literally, like, their dream coming true.
Yeah.
And now for Shador in this instance, who was having a dream come true, turn into a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of it going into it is just, it's wrong. And in all honesty, like, the apology, that's nice. I really only feel like you gave the apology because you got caught.
It's because you got caught.
You don't really care.
Yeah.
But again, it's just a report now. We don't know, as of right now, it's only confirmed that one prank call that he made was to Shador Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
It's seemingly maybe there were more that were made, but we can't confirm whether or not it was him.
We'll see. And all that stuff's going to come out here over the next couple of days or so, and we'll hear. I mean, some people might talk a little bit more about it, and hopefully it's just a non-story. Hopefully it goes away. Hopefully we all forget about this, and Jax learns his lesson, and he moves on. He's apologized, and we can take him at his word. But that's the other thing. It's like if he goes out and makes an apology like that to Shador, and then it comes out that he did it to multiple people, then that apology looks very weak, very, very weak. But he's going to mess around and find out, because you don't come back from things like that. That's not something that the NFL looks highly upon. Just frustrating. But back to the Atlanta Falcons, because there are some things that I did love from the weekend just in terms of the draft. James, we just heard from Jalen Walker. Very excited about what he can do in a Falcons uniform as soon as next year. I think Kirk Herbstreit said he was going to be a defensive rookie of the year type of candidate. He wouldn't be surprised if he goes in there and does that. The odds are that the Falcons have a couple of guys who can come in here and make a run at a defensive rookie of the year. Jalen Walker is one of those front runners, but also James Pierce. And I asked Joe Patrick about it earlier in the show, and he said that James Pierce, he agreed with me that James Pierce might actually be the guy who can make a run at defensive rookie of the year, because he's a guy who is just going to have one job. And when you're a rookie, especially if you're a defender, and you're given one responsibility, especially if you're a pass rusher, that kind of sets you up for success. It kind of puts you in a position where you're going to be able to do that one thing and focus on that one thing and do it really well. That's rush the passer. That's get some sacks. If we can get him to double-digit sacks next year, which I'm not trying to come out and say that he's going to get double-digit sacks next year, but if he can push that and be a disruptor in that one role, then I think we have a very good opportunity of getting a defensive rookie of the year type of player on this defense, or having one. Jalen Walker, on the other hand, is a guy who that's who Kirk Herbstreit sided with. I think the talent says that Jalen Walker could be one of those types of players, but he's also going to be asked to do things that may not show up on a stat sheet. He's going to go sideline to sideline. He's somebody who's going to play off-ball linebacker. He may move out, play in coverage at times. He might rush the passer at other times. He's going to be a Swiss Army knife. He's a playmaker, somebody who makes things happen. And when you have a guy like that, it doesn't always show up on a stat sheet, but it's something that I'm very interested in following as this season moves on. But as far as James Pierce is concerned, I think he has that one job down pat. One of the best pure pass rushers in this draft class, and Dukes and Bell caught up with him earlier in the week. This is what that conversation sounded like.
Falcons went back into the first round last night and got Pierce out of Tennessee, and he's making his way into the room. What's up, bro? Good to see you, man. As he's getting ready to sit down here.
Right on.
We're talking to all these guys, man, because the draft is the best and funnest thing as far as, you know, how your team improves. And can you hear us, brother? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Man, welcome. First of all, James Pierce, thank you for being here. Congratulations, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy that you're here. I know a lot of people were surprised that we went back in and pulled you out. I asked Jalen this question. Did you have any idea it was going to be us that was going to draft you last night?
I low-key hoped for it. Just a little bit. A
little bit?
Because we heard they put the work in with you. So, I mean, did you feel, because as a player, do you feel the Falcons had more interest in you than other teams?
I feel like that we got to know each other and we got to communicate back and forth. So, a little bit more than other teams.
Okay.
6'5", 250-ish, Mike. Talk about SEC, first in quarterback pressures. Talk about your pass rush, man, because, you know, you played at Tennessee, obviously, being in the South, SEC, Atlanta being the home. We see a lot of SEC games and pay attention to all these things. But talk about you being a pass rusher, because it's something we've desperately needed, and how you, you know, have developed over the last few years and certainly the success you had at Tennessee.
I set up everything off speed, just naturally being a pass rusher. And then after that, it just come with learning and how you can use the hands and stuff like that. So,
is that something you feel you got to work on a little bit, technique-wise?
I said it before. As long as I'm playing the game of football in the National Football League, I don't feel like you should ever stop working on your hands. So as long as I'm playing, I'll always try to get better at that and perfect that.
We got Coach Ra. And we got the word last night that your defensive coordinator couldn't sleep at all last night. He's so excited.
Yeah, I need to go see him.
But, I mean, it is pretty cool, though, the idea of coming here in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, the Juice. This is a team that – I don't know if you picked up on the buzz, but there's a lot of energy, man. People are really excited about the aggressiveness to go get you in the first round of the moves we made last night.
Yeah.
So how you feeling, man? You excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. And, it means a lot to me that they was able to do that, and they did that, and they believe in my game and what I can bring to this team. So,
James, we heard I think it was our general manager Terry Fontenot say, "Is Miss Kizzy there?" When he talked to you on the phone, and I'm just curious to tell us about your mom, man, and you know her impact in your life, because they were talking about meeting the people around you and how important that was for the organization to kind of get a sense of who you were.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more so that my mom more so laid back like me and just let me do my own thing a little bit. So they probably was like, where is it coming from? You know what I'm saying? So they probably wanted to meet the person who produced the guy like this. So
what was mom saying last night, man?
She was happy. She was happy, especially when she seen the 404. She was super happy.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it with Jalen. It's like every kid wants to be in the NBA or the NFL. Mm-hmm. But like last night, did you catch yourself in the moment like this is really happening?
Oh yeah. Even walking into the facility today, when I got my jersey, my agent asked to hold it. I really didn't want to let him hold it, but yeah.
You raised in and around Charlotte. You played hoops too, didn't you? Didn't you play some basketball?
Well, yeah, I started late though. In high school, I started playing basketball in high school. I've been playing football since I was six, though. So.
Okay, because I was wondering if the basketball helped you. We hear guys say that, you know, sometimes playing hoops it helps. You a big hoops fan?
Yeah, my girl playing basball.
Yeah, she's in the WNBA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a favorite team you watch as far as the NBA is concerned, or not really?
The NBA?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Just out of curiosity.
Because we could actually use kind of a small forward with the Hawks. I don't want to put too much on your plate. I'm just saying, if you want to, you know, be pretty good at, you know, ad campaign around that. Like Bo Jackson part two. Just throwing it out there, man. Again, guys, James Pierce Jr. is with us live in the Ticketmaster Studios. Again, two first-round picks. What has the team told you? Have they told you anything about it, what they expect from you and what they expect you to do?
That's
see quarterback, get quarterback.
Exactly. It's still a bottom line business, and pretty sure I got to come here and produce just like any other player on this team and stuff like that, and do what's best for the team at all costs.
James, you went to Tennessee. Your decision to go there outside the money. we can say that now. NIL. Hey, I mean, come
now
on.
Now it's legal,
that's
baby.
That's right, man. I ain't tripping. But seriously, you had a chance to go pretty much anywhere you wanted in the SEC. What was your decision there? And I heard Coach Heupel talk about you were one of his first big recruits.
It was big to me. Mom liked it. It was super close to home. It was Tennessee. I went there to hunt 2000 Freeman. Mm-hmm. It was just a different feeling. It was just something that I was more connected with. And then Coach Heupel liked to score a lot of points. Teams got to be able to keep up. I like to rush the passer.
Yeah. Easy formula there for you, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's why he produced 27.5 sacks, guys, for loss.
All SEC twice.
And this is what we're
getting. First team.
17.5 sacks the last two seasons, and that's why we're excited, James, because it's something we've been lacking, obviously, with our Falcon organization. In your conversations, Mike asked you, you know, what they've told you, but what do you think you bring? Like, Falcon fans are listening right now, and they're saying, all right, James, man, what you going to bring to the squad?
Just right now, Dominic's ready to learn, ready to get to it, and ready to figure out how I can affect the game at the next level. So,
right on. We talked to Jalen about this because it's a strange journey. You know, how much did you watch the coverage when people like let's punch up James Pierce Jr. what they say and all the things that get thrown out there about you? Do you feel like you're just a piece of meat at the combine? How was that interview process?
No, I didn't feel like that. I know like I said, it's a bottom line business. You feel me? So I know it, I really don't take it too personal.
Right.
I understand that they want to get to know me, so I don't take it really too personal. I just go with the flow for the most part.
Right. Well, you've done a heck of a job, man, getting ready for this thing. And last night was a lot of fun for Falcon fans and seeing this all come together. Obviously, we're not done. Hopefully, we'll add some more pieces. But welcome to the A, man. We're excited to have you. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they get a chance to see you on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis, brother.
Yeah, nah. In this red, that would be great.
And by the way, you know, in the old days, I said like 3 years ago, we used to ask guys, what are you going to do when you get that contract? Now you probably had a cool whip at Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I got a nice car, I feel like. It's the car I want. I probably won't be getting another car until.
Yeah.
Right, but it's funny because it's funny. I don't know. Do you take a pay cut, Carl, when you come in the NFL nowadays?
Depends.
Hey, man, welcome to the A, man.
Uh-huh, for sure, no doubt.
Right.
I like to get after the passer. That's my job. That's basically James Pierce in a nutshell. Yeah, he's going to line up and sack the quarterback. And I'm very excited about what he can do here in a Falcons uniform. He was just on with Dukes and Bell. James Pierce Jr., plus 1,700 odds to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Jalen Walker sitting up there at plus 600, but I really like Pierce's odds here. I really like him. Abdul Carter, of course, is the favorite in the clubhouse, plus 233. Micah Williams, another dog, plus 875 out there in San Francisco. Travis Hunter, plus 925. Interesting group of guys here. A lot of good defenders in this draft class. Very excited to see what these guys can do, but Falcons got two of them. We got two of them. And I think that my expectations for this team moving forward, very excited about what they could potentially do. When we get back, though, Don Trotsky, going to bring him in here. We'll chat up some NBA playoffs and a little bit more. We got to wait 5 minutes just to hear a little bit about that. My name is Garrett Chapman. You're coming off the bench with me right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What kind of role is Ian Anderson going to have? Well, it's starting to come together just a little bit. Dave O'Brien on Twitter, he makes he just put out a post here. He will join the Braves in Denver, and the plan right now is for him to provide some long relief if needed. Snitker said they haven't decided on Tuesday's starter, but the guess right now is that A.J. Smith-Shawver is going to get that start. Bryce Elder starts on Monday. Chris Sale in Wednesday's finale. And look, this is a big opportunity for the Atlanta Braves. You got to go out there and get three wins. You got to go out and sweep them. Braves are playing really good baseball. At least win the series. Like, at the bare minimum, that's the expectation here. But you're playing a Rockies team that is dreadful. Go get all three. These are the series that you need to look back on in the regular season when you're tabulating what teams you beat, what teams you beat up on. These are the types of teams that you need to just mollywop and move on with your day. And just move on with your day. Get three wins, get on out of here, get back home. You got the day off on Thursday, then we'll go from there. But I did say earlier in the show, if you did throw me a follow, I was going to give you a shout-out. At GChapATL on Twitter. Full Metal Jacket gave me a follow. But big, big thank you there. Ben Adamson, Taylor Prezzano, and Al Bundy. All you guys getting a big shout-out here on Off the Bench on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big thank you for the follow there. If you want to give me a follow, at GChapATL. We talk all things Atlanta sports. We got a lot of Georgia Tech coverage, of course, with 247 Sports and all sorts of fun stuff. But we get a better idea of what Ian Anderson is going to be looking like. We've talked a little bit about Jalen Walker and James Pierce potentially being front runners in the Defensive Rookie of the Year chase. And how bullish I am on this Atlanta Falcons team. But we're in the final segment. And something I've always liked to do is give producers the opportunity to kind of come in here and, you know, see what they want to do. So, Dom Trotsky, this is your time to shine. At Dom, you're live on Twitter if you're feeling so generous. Give him a follow, too. He's a good dude. Dom, what you got, man?
Hey, so looking through here, and obviously we had the draft. The Falcons did something that I wanted them to do, or almost did something what I wanted them to do, which was spend every pick on defense. They did just about that. Made it all the way to the last pick, and they did decide we'll address the offensive line a little bit. But one of the things that they did not address is the wide receiver position. I know we spoke about it earlier. Obviously, we know Drake London, stud. Darnell Mooney played very well here last year in his first season. Kyle Pitts, we'll see what he becomes moving forward, if he can figure it out with Michael Penix Jr. But There's a couple of names out here, and I just wanted to see, give me your interest level in some of the names that are available at this wide receiver position. Now that we're past the draft, some interesting names I see here. First up, Kadarius Toney.
No.
Thought so.
No. Also, to your point, I want to throw this out here. Falcons used their first four picks on defense for the first time since 2009.
Oh, wow.
So I had, that's just one little nugget that I picked up when I was doing prep for the weekend. But go ahead, keep going.
Next up, Amari Cooper.
Absolutely.
That's the one that when I saw, I was like, oh, he's still out there.
I didn't realize
there,
he
huh?
was still out there.
Yeah, I was like, he's still available.
I thought he had another year left in Buffalo.
Well, because he got traded, but I guess they just decided to cut him or didn't pick up the contract. I mean, he didn't have a ton of production in Buffalo.
No.
I don't know if it wasn't a good fit or anything, but he's available. He's still out there. I think he's a name that's definitely interesting.
How old is Amari Cooper now? 30 years old. Okay, yeah, so he'll be 31 by the time the year starts. He's had a weird career.
He was,
you know, he was really, really high.
He had a great rookie year with the Raiders, and then after that, things fell apart. He got traded to Dallas, kind of became
good first
his
two
own
years.
Thing.
Good first 2 years.
Yeah, and then kind of got to Dallas, reestablished himself.
Yeah,
and then
he was
got
terrible
traded to
those
Cleveland?
Last 2 years and. I guess Oakland at the time.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, no. I had him on
680 yards, 7 touchdowns. Not terrible, not great.
I was going to say, I had him on one of my fantasy teams in those Raiders years, and I was very upset.
He never really took that next step that I wanted to see him do. You know, because, I mean, he gets drafted at high pedigree.
Yeah.
Of course, he's coming out of the University of Alabama. He's he was the next, like, in the line of those great wide receivers coming out of Alabama, like with Julio Jones was one of those guys. Calvin Ridley was one of those guys. They've had a lot of dudes just like that. But he gets to the Cowboys and then just sort of, he's solid but never spectacular. And then he goes to the Browns and he has really the good year in 2023. But then since then has been just a nothing burger. But you get a guy like that, I think getting a veteran into the room who understands a role, and I think Amari Cooper can be that guy. I like the idea of potentially bringing in Amari Cooper, if the money's right.
So I would say in that same vein, there's
you
a couple.
You still want a lot of money.
Yeah, I would say in the same vein of maybe some older guys that are probably past their prime that maybe you don't have to spend too much money on. Would Amari Cooper be your favorite out of this bunch?
Sure.
Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Robert Woods, Odell Beckham.
I mean, those are all interesting players.
I think those
are all definitely post-prime players.
But I think it works because
potentially add something.
Because you're asking them at best to be wide receiver two. Realistically, you're asking them to be wide receiver three.
Yeah. And fill a role because you want somebody who can go down the field. You want somebody who can stretch the field. That's why I would actually tend to go towards like an Odell Beckham or something like that. Which I don't know what he would do. I don't know what he adds necessarily at this point in his career.
Does DJ Chark or Deontay Johnson do anything for you?
There's a reason they're available right now.
That's very true, especially with Deontay.
Yeah, and not Deontay, but I would do DJ Chark maybe. I mean, like, that's somebody who can he can run down the field and he can stretch. And ultimately, if you can get somebody in this team on this roster who can stretch the field, I think that makes the Falcons a little bit better. Because you don't really have that. Darnell Mooney is your stretch guy, and that's not his number one thing. And then obviously Drake London's not a deep threat type of player. It's just not what he does. So if I had to find something, the role that I want to see filled is a stretch guy.
Yeah,
some speedster.
Nelson Agholor is out there.
Agholor. Catching babies. Unlike Agholor. He'll never live that down.
Never.
He's never going to live that down.
Never.
Funniest thing I've ever seen. Funniest thing ever.
All things right, worked out for Philly after
they
that,
did.
Huh?
Yeah, no, they're okay. Unlike Agholor. If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about here, there is the video of a guy who was catching babies out of a fire. Like there was a house fire or an apartment fire
there
or something.
Was an apartment fire.
And the news goes up, like the local news goes over to interview him, and he was like, "Yeah, I was catching everything they were throwing." Unlike Agholor,
Like,
oh God,
just goes to show you how great of a place Philly is.
It's a unique place. I won't use the G word for them, but no, they are certainly unique.
There's a burning building right over here, and you're still worried about Nelson Aguilar's ass not being able to catch footballs. Like,
it's not a real place. Philadelphia is a weird place. They got some weird folks up there.
Oh man. All righty. Real quick before we get out of here. So yesterday, or this past weekend, was probably my worst draft experience as a fan. Obviously, I was very high on Shedeur Sanders. I wanted the Steelers to take him. So that got me thinking, this was probably my worst draft moment. For you as a fan, what was your worst draft experience and what was your best?
Oh, man. The best is definitely Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Julio Jones, mm-hmm. when the Falcons go up and trade, they send the farm down to send it up to Cleveland. When generally, if you're making a trade with a franchise like Cleveland, you're feeling pretty good.
You're probably going to get
you're
the
probably going to get the better end of that deal. and we did. We got a first ballot Hall of Famer in Julio, and they got nothing. Actually, if you go back and look at it, they did get one wide receiver who I remember reading this on Bleacher Report in high school, where they said he had one halfway decent season as like a third round pick or something, and they're like, "Wow, did the Falcons really lose this trade or whatever?" And it's like, okay, buddy.
Oh wow, look at this. So, the Cleveland Browns in that package turned those picks into Phil Taylor, defensive tackle, Greg Little, who was a wide receiver, Owen Marecci, who was a fullback, and someone that we talked about off air earlier, Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon. What a dumpster fire.
And then they traded another franchise. One of those picks to get Trent Richardson. So they turned the Julio Jones pick into Phil Taylor, Greg Little, Owen Maricich, Brandon Whedon, and Trent Richardson.
Oh, bless their hearts.
A bunch of nothing.
Bless their hearts. And we got Julio frickin' Jones. No, you talk about best moments. That was definitely high on that list. Because the Falcons were in a situation where they were just barely on the outside of contention. And it felt like they just needed a killer at the wide receiver position. And then Julio Jones falls into your lap. And man, you talk about the excitement that was in this city when Julio Jones was drafted. That was definitely up there. But as far as bad moments, I don't know about bad moments per se, because I generally tend to talk myself into a lot of these picks.
You'll.
And I've had, and it's because of this whole process, I do so much work in the build up to it that I see why all of these first, I mean, and I'm just talking first round. I'm not going to go deep into the second.
Of course,
Day two, day three, whatever. Because I have deeper thoughts on that, but it's not interesting to anybody else except for me. But as far as day one picks, I mean, Kyle Pitts was one that really annoyed me at the time because I was all in on Micah Parsons. And I really wanted to bring in Micah Parsons here. And I thought that that was going to be one where the Falcons were coming in new regime and you have everybody's and like, hey, this is where we're going to finally switch away from the shiny toy and go get somebody who's going to be a dog and a difference maker. And we go get the shiny toy at pick four, and that's obviously been a complete disaster. That's the first one that comes to mind. But the thing is, it's like most of the retroactive grading and everything is a little silly. There's a reason these guys go in the first round. It's because the potential is there for them to be absolute studs. And that's where I go back to this, and I'll finish here, because draft grades are the most ridiculous thing on the planet. Nobody knows what these guys are going to do. Nobody knows what their fit is going to be with each scheme. We don't know if coaches get fired and then things happen. And sometimes you get drafted to be in a certain scheme and then they get put into a different scheme and they don't fit. And then they're labeled a bust and everything else goes out the window, right? And nobody knows. Ultimately, nobody has any idea what's going to happen. But best day of the lives of a lot of young men. And I'm glad that I think the Falcons got some really good ones. I'm really, really excited about what the Falcons are going to look like in 2025. But that's it for me. That's it for me. Big thank you to Joe Patrick. He gave us two segments here during the show. Talked to Atlanta United, talked to Atlanta Falcons. Big thank you to my man, Dom Trosky. As always, it's always a pleasure working with my man there. Thank you to anybody who called in earlier on in the show. Thank you all for listening. My name is Garrett Chapman. You've been coming off the bench with me. Infinity Sports Network is on the other side. Be kind to one another. Talk soon.